I had an interesting conversation with Dr. Craig Albert from Augusta University a while back, and he brought together for us politics and philosophy. Let's hear that again, and if you will, see what you can glean from this that can help us get a better grasp on what's going on in the world of politics today. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. It is Power Friday. We are being joined by Dr. Craig Albert from Augusta University. Good to have you in the house again. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Always great to be here.
Man, I tell you what, so much has been going on since we last spoke with each other. But before we talk about current events, I would like for us to talk about something that we promised everybody we would delve into today. And it has to do with current events, but from a different angle. It's not about the current event per se so much as how we respond mentally, attitudinally, etc., philosophically, if you will, to the current events, to the politics of our day. And that said, just before we get started with the discussion, Dr. Albert, the beauty of this program is it's just like so many other programs. There's always someone who had not heard us before. And so would you please tell people again more about yourself and specifically focus on what we're going to really be delving into today, the philosophical end of things, what that has, how that connects with our politics, even in a general sense.
Sure. I'm Craig Albert, as you said, and I'm an associate professor of political science at Augusta University and the graduate director of our master's program in intelligence and security studies. My area of expertise, I received my PhD from the University of Connecticut in 2009, and my areas of expertise are international relations, specifically international security and war and peace, and then my second concentration is American politics, usually concerned with American political thought and philosophy. And then my master's degree, also from the University of Connecticut, was just a general political science degree, but focused on international relations. And then my second area was philosophy, political philosophy. So my research and my writings as it pertains to political philosophy is on the nature and the relationship between religion and democratic states. So most of my research and reading revolves around a French political philosopher, Alexis de Tocqueville, who wrote a very famous book called Democracy in America, which is probably the most philosophical, most in-depth, greatest treatise ever written on American politics, period. And it was by somebody not American, which is sometimes what it takes as an outside observer to really reflect on the nature of what they're witnessing and observing. So I write and do a lot of research on how we handle the understanding of faith versus reason and what that relationship ought to be in society, and particularly with your governing regime. What role does, if any, religion need to play in a government, and how do government officials need to take account for that religion? And interestingly, Tocqueville thought that in a democracy, you had to maintain in the people some religious understanding, because religion in American democracy, or I'm sorry, the understanding of democracy is that we are the sovereign. We're in charge. We control the state, the people, you know, by the people, for the people understanding. So politics is going to directly correlate to the people's morality. So however you define your character, how your traits are reflected in society is what is governing politics. So politics is a reflection exactly of who we are. And so Tocqueville thought that in order to maintain some understanding of virtue, some understanding of morality, so he's writing in the 1830s, right after the French Revolution in the 1790s, so it's not too removed from that, his understanding of democracy is blood in the streets, the reign of terror, the great terror of France, where, you know, any religious individuals were assassinated, you know, guillotine. Anybody that was an aristocrat or royalty was guillotined. So democracy meant power of the people in France in the 1780s and 90s, but that meant great terror and revolution. And so Tocqueville, and for all intents and purposes, destroyed religion with what he calls the old regime, with the aristocracy and with the kingship in France. So in America, Tocqueville said, if you don't want to go down the same road that France went down, where it was mob politics, where people were killing each other and dying in high numbers, you need to maintain religion and make sure that the people practice religion, make sure that the government officials practice religion, to make sure that there's virtue and morality with the people, because, you know, you can't just have there's no aristocratic class in America. So in other countries, Tocqueville wrote, you don't have to have this level of religious participation, because the king or queen or the aristocrats will maintain, through terror themselves,
yes,
morality and virtue in the people.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a lot of immorality under Saddam Hussein's Iraq, you know, according to what Saddam labeled as morality or immorality, mm-hmm, because what happened if you disobeyed? Well, he would kill you quite gruesomely. So in America, instead of having, because we don't have an aristocracy, Tocqueville said, you really have to concentrate on the essence of the founders. And the founders made our Constitution and our Declaration, you know, under the guise, under the worship of a God, of a creator God. And of course, at the same time, while acknowledging that, they say you have to have the separation of church and state. So because you don't want the church to corrupt politics, and you don't want politics to corrupt the church, which we've seen throughout time in both relationships. And so we have this very vivid understanding by Tocqueville of what the founding fathers wanted in this country, which was public displays of religion so that we guard our own souls, but not necessarily for the purpose of everlasting life, but for the purpose of good politics, for the purpose of peaceful politics, of civic virtue and inner virtue for the sake of stability in society, which is quite interesting. A lot of people don't understand how cognizant the founding fathers were about this relationship. I mean, they were political philosophers. They were, you know, read 3,000 years of political philosophy to write the Constitution, to make it set up as a way where you didn't need an aristocratic class or a king or a queen. I mean, they were rebelling against that.
Exactly.
But they wanted to make sure they kept this part of aristocracy, that religious understanding, that, you know, that part where the church, you know, confers royalty upon somebody. They wanted that general faith that is associated with that so that we would live peaceful and stable lives. So that's where my political philosophy research is about and my writings. And all my students, if any are listening, know this because I sign Tocqueville in every class I teach, because I think he's that essential reading for Americans should be the Federalist Papers, but written by our founding fathers, and the Democracy in America by Tocqueville.
So you mentioned that something that really, really came to my mind as you were talking about his contention that religion should be something shared with the masses, something that the masses, the people, have an understanding of. And we're knowing that we keep hearing that the separation between church and state should be the rule of the day. And so were you saying that Tocqueville reconciled these two, that the people be religious and we have separation of church and state? Or did he say that there would be some kind of tension there that we just have to kind of struggle through?
Well, unfortunately, my interpretation of his writings is that he thinks we already killed religion in America. So he's writing in the 1830s, mm-hmm, and he's, you know, and we're the byproduct of the Enlightenment, which one of its purpose was to replace religion with the rule of science.
Yeah.
And Tocqueville said, or the rule of reason. And Tocqueville says, look, you're going too far in the other way. That led to the French Revolution. So the reason you wanted to get rid of religion is because you said it killed too many people and had too many wars and corrupted our souls, you know, and didn't make us good individuals. We became violent by saying my God's better than yours or something like that. But we overcorrected and went the far extreme in France, and you had pure democracy where so many people were slaughtered. And he said America was the last great hope for reconciling these two, to have a democracy, to keep it safe, and to cure for the defects that led to the French Revolution. Tocqueville said, America, you have to let religion rule. You have to let it rule in the people. You have to inspire it in the people. You have to allow it to gestate and for everybody to worship how they want to.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Tocqueville said it doesn't matter how they worship, what religion they are. He's quite prolific on writing about this. He doesn't say what sect of Christianity one should practice. Mm-hmm. That was the main religion in America, of course, at that time, and what he would be most familiar with in France. So he said, you have to have this, but the politicians ought not try to convert you, but they should remind you of God and religion as a check against your, you know, immorality, as a check to make sure that you're virtuous. Mm-hmm. For instance, they should always, you know, just remind you. And America does that. These reminders are what keep us a virtuous citizenry. And that's why it hurts me philosophically when so many people want to kill religion in this state, not just because I'm a believer myself, but if you take my personal understanding, my personal faith out of it, and just talk about what it means for democracy, for the people, there's no check against who we are as individuals if you take religion out. And so we need to keep things like "In God We Trust." We need the president to be able to say "God bless us," just as simple reminders that perhaps there's something higher than us and that we should question our actions and judge them in that understanding. And that's what Tocqueville thought we ought to do and keep that. But he did not predict that we would. He thought that that would die out and eventually then we would become a democratic totalitarian society, which he said, quote, would be the worst totalitarian society the world has ever produced. Wow.
Well, you mentioned the Enlightenment, and we know that even here in America, we've had a lot of people who really focused on the virtues of reason. And don't get me wrong. I know that reason is good. We need reason. I mean, we reason in our everyday living. So certainly not slamming reason. But like you said, with the goal of it having been to replace religion, how did the founding fathers in particular deal with that aspect of it, especially when it comes to, as you said, we're not going to say this is the religion that you have to practice. They left it open to everybody to practice whatever religion they wanted the way they wanted. But at the same time, we're still part of this global society that's really emphasizing reason. We've all got to be more enlightened.
Remember, this is interesting. Most of the founding fathers were either agnostic or deist, meaning that they had a different understanding of Christianity, of the idea of God than we did, but they still had very deep deist feelings. About 30% were probably deist. The rest of them were Christians. So their understanding of religion was a little bit different than ours. Even Jefferson, who by all accounts was probably agnostic, if he was a deist, he was a bad deist. He much more favored on the idea of a universal spiritualness and reason and everything. But he realized that most people wanted religion, they needed faith, and they wanted to experience this love for religion. So that even though all the founding fathers were on the same page with reason, I mean, these were very philosophical individuals. I try to remind my students all the time, you know, yes, they were flawed creatures. They were, you know, all of them sinned. All of them had poor virtues, just like I do, right? We all can't be Carl. Like, we're all not these saints, you know, living amongst us,
thing.
Right?
I'm glad you all can't be like me.
So they had their faults and stuff, and they erred in some parts of the Constitution, obviously, right? But this part about religion, they said, we have to make sure that everybody knows it's okay to practice their religion, but we're going to put it in the Bill of Rights that the state can't sponsor a specific religion, and they can't prevent you from practicing your own religion. So in the First Amendment, those are called the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause. So those are in the First Amendment, that the government can never take religion's side or one religion over any other. It can't sponsor anything that helps promote religion officially, but it also can't take any action that hinders your free expression of religion. And so it kind of, through that document, the First Amendment and the Bill of Rights, solidified our understanding of what religion would be. And don't forget, most of them lived here or they had relatives who were alive when the colonies were being established through religious sects. And we had quite gruesome religious pitched debates against different sects. And many of our states and colonies in the 1600s were established by one form of religion seeking safety from persecution in another colony.
When we come back, Dr. Albert, could you share with us, as we look at what was happening within the colonies, this whole notion that, hey, that this is a nation where you can practice whatever religion you choose to. We're not going to tell you what to practice, how to practice it. We're not going to prohibit. And share with us how that ties in with the notion that America came to be regarded as a Christian nation.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, our guest, yours and mine, Dr. Craig Albert. He and I'll be right back. We're talking philosophy, religion, politics right here on Power Friday, speaking with Carl Thornton Jr.
Some of us try as hard as we can. We don't want no sympathy, we just want to be a man.